Well, good evening to each and every one of you. It's good to see you. Except if I didn't see you, it would make me less nervous. But yeah.
We can all leave.
Yeah, that's right. Then I'd probably get really nervous. Let's just take a moment and let's commit this to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you that we can come into your presence. And we come because of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we just commit this meeting to you that you would be honored and glorified, and that the things spoken would exalt you and your Son. So we just pray this and ask for your help in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So this evening, I would like to speak to you about some different people who met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and how they responded in different ways. I'm just waiting for Gary to get the PowerPoint up there. Maybe I could have you turn to Luke chapter 23 and we'll read some verses from Luke. I categorized three different people into three different types of categories, and they are different people who responded to the Lord Jesus Christ in different ways, and they are all people who met the Lord here on this earth when he was here, and they met him face to face, and each one had a different response in different ways to him. And so there was three people I'd like to talk about, or three categories. There was those that were lost, there was those that were misguided, and those that had a heavenly perspective. So first, those that were lost, and we'll start with Pilate here. Pilate, we know the story. He met the Lord Jesus Christ when the Jews had brought Jesus to Pilate. They wanted him to be crucified. And Pilate was aware that they had brought him for envy. And so he wanted to question the Lord Jesus. And let's just read a few verses and see how the interaction went. We'll start, I think we'll read from verse 1 to 7 and then from verse 13 to 25. Luke 23, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is a king, that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." And Pilate then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching through all Jewry, beginning with Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And then if you'll skip to verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in him, in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So there's a couple things I noticed about Pilate when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the fact that he chose to please men over God. He was a man pleaser. And there was other things he tried to do. When he met the Lord Jesus Christ at the very start, he tried to send him off to Herod. As soon as he realized that he could, he tried to ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, tried to push him out of his life and to ignore him. And when that didn't work, then he just tried to do whatever would fit to not make the Lord Jesus part of his life. He wasn't willing to let the Lord take control. And then we also notice, if you would read from Matthew, Matthew talks about where he washed his hands with water, and he said he wanted to be innocent of the blood of the Lord Jesus. But he tried the wrong thing. He didn't seek to be washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we can try to wash ourselves with anything, but if we aren't letting the Lord do the washing, it's no good. So Pilate, he was a man pleaser. He let the crowds take control instead of the Lord Jesus. There was also Herod. And we'll see that he was a pleasure seeker. In Luke, here, chapter 23, you look at verse 8, it says, And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for they were enemies between themselves. So Herod, he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wanted to see him because he wanted something spectacular to be done. He wanted to see the Lord perform a miracle. He was looking to be amused, to be pleased, but he didn't want the Lord Jesus to actually make an impact on his life and change his life or control his life. He just wanted the Lord for what he could get out of it. So Herod was a pleasure seeker. And then there was another man who was lost. His name was Legion. And you can find him in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we'll start reading at verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And he went forth to land. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And when the devils out of the man entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him that him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he returned, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils was departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So here we have Legion, a man who he knew he was hopelessly lost. There was nothing he could do. He was completely out of his own control. He was under the control of devils. And as he met Jesus, he fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realized, first of all, who the Lord was. And he fell down before him, and he cried out for mercy. And the devils there controlling this man, and he was out of his own control. So he sought the Lord, because that was the only hope for him, Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus changed his life because this man came to him. And Jesus cast out those devils. And we see the change that was in this man. It says that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. First, when we saw him, he was wandering in the desert or in the wilderness. He was staying in the tombs. He was naked and out of his own control. And when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in the place, instead of being in the place of the dead, he was in the place of the living with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went from being naked to being clothed, just as Isaiah wrote, that he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. And then he was in his own right mind. The Lord gave him the control of his body. And he was under the Lord's control, because the Lord sent him out to go and tell what great things God had done for him. We'll keep going on to those that were misguided. Please turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we'll start reading at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So Saul, he was misguided. He was a man who was a religious fanatic. He thought he was doing what God wanted, but in reality, he was opposing the very thing he thought he was serving. And there was a number of things that had to change in his life when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did come face to face with the Lord, he was blinded. And he realized that all along he had been blind spiritually. And where he thought he was serving God, he wasn't. So first Saul needed to realize, like I said, that he was blind and that he needed the Lord to open his eyes. And then he had to come to the realization of who he was facing, and he did. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And there are many today that are misguided and they think they're serving the Lord, but they're not serving the Lord, they're serving something else. And they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Saul did. And Saul also had to realize what it was that God wanted him to do. And he said that, What wilt thou have me to do? See, Saul thought he was serving God. He thought he was on the right track. But first, as he came face to face with the Lord Jesus and realized that it wasn't God who he was serving and that it wasn't the work of God that he was doing. And the Lord opened his eyes so that he could go tell others how they could have their eyes opened and have the light of the gospel shine into their hearts. So Saul went from persecuting the church to proclaiming Christ. His life was not the same ever again. He let go of himself and he was obedient to the Lord's command. Then we have somebody else who was in some ways a lot like Saul, and I called him Mr. Do-Good. He was a rich young man. And Matthew gives us this story. In Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19 verse 16 to 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Mr. Do-Good was wanting something that he could do to earn his salvation. He came to the Lord Jesus came to the right person, but he came with the wrong question. He thought that his own works could save him. And in the end, we find that he couldn't let go of his riches, and the things of this life kept him from life eternal. And then there was, after Mr. Do-Good, we have someone I called the emotional Christian, and that was Mary. And if you turn to John, John 20, John chapter 20, verse is 10 to 18. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So there's several things we can notice about Mary. She had let the circumstances misguide her. Jesus had already told the disciples that he would rise from the dead, and he had given them all that they needed to know. But you see, in the moment, Mary had forgotten. She had let her emotions take control, and she was weeping. And in her weeping, she didn't even recognize who the Lord Jesus was when he did meet her. Because Mary was looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing. She was looking for a dead Jesus. But the Lord was alive. And he is alive today. And when the Lord spoke her name, then she recognized that it was Jesus. And everything in her life changed from that moment on. And she went, and the very first thing that we see as she left from there is that she went and told others about the Lord and what he had spoken to her. We'll go on to three men who had a heavenly perspective. There was the humble servant, and it was John the Baptist. I'll read a verse here from John chapter 3 and verse 30. John said of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, He must increase, but I must decrease. John realized who the Lord Jesus was, and he was happy just to proclaim the Lord. He wasn't focused on himself or what his own ministry was about or any of the things of this earth. He was focused on who Jesus Christ was and preparing people for the Lord Jesus. And he was just humble to serve his master. He realized that he himself wasn't worthy in any way to even stoop down and unloose the sandal from Jesus' feet. He was just a humble servant. But he had that humility because he had that heavenly perspective. There was also the devoted disciple, John, the Apostle John. And we read in Revelation chapter 1 how he met the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And he fell at the Lord Jesus. He fell before his feet like a dead man. See, John realized there who the Lord Jesus was. He realized that it wasn't about himself. And everything else, whatever John might have been thinking about on the Lord's day. I'm pretty sure he was thinking about the things of the Lord, but everything in his mind, it was gone because it was about the Lord. He was there face to face, and he realized that Lord Jesus Christ was greater than himself. And I called him the devoted servant because, or devoted disciple, because he had served the Lord, and he was on that Isle of Patmos. And we know he was an old man, and he was there for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because he was willing to serve the Lord no matter what. And he was willing to endure the persecution and go on. And then we also have those that were expectant believers. And that was the Thessalonians. And Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, actually, I'm going to read a few verses more. I'm going to start at chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that ye need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. These Thessalonians were looking forward to meet the Lord. And they knew that it was coming. They were expecting it at any moment and at any time. They were eagerly waiting. They were excited. And notice what that did to them. They were telling others. They were telling everybody. It was known by the whole region or all around that these people were telling of Christ. He made a difference in their lives, and the fact that they were going to meet him someday made a difference. They couldn't live the same. Christ had saved them from idols, from so much, and they knew what they had been saved from, and they knew who they were saved to. And so, let me ask you, what about you? What's your response to the Lord Jesus? We don't, here on this earth, aren't going to meet the Lord Jesus face to face like the disciples did. But we are looking forward to a day, if we are believers, when we shall see the Lord face to face. And if you aren't a believer, there's a day when you will be judged. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God." See, you have to choose. And Pilate, he tried to ignore the Lord Jesus. And there are those, you may be one of them, that tries to ignore the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he has done for you. you might be a man pleaser who just tries to go with the things of this world and not to go against the flow. And if you are, then Christ can do nothing for you. Your life, it won't change. You could also be a pleasure seeker like Herod. One who wants Christ, but only for what you can get out of him. What he can do for you. But unless you're like Legion, unless you're willing to come to the Lord and let go of everything and let him take control, there's no hope for you. And so I want to say, are you ready? Do you have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you waiting for that day when he shall come again? I don't want you to be like any of these men, like Herod or like Pilate, who turned the Lord Jesus away and left him. Or like the man who tried to do his own good works, but left, clinging to his own riches because he wanted them more and it was more important than eternity. Are you looking? John says that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. And speaking of the hope of the Lord Jesus' return. And you can be like Paul or Saul, be caught up in religion and trying to please the Lord with your own good works, like Mr. Do-Good. But you see, religion without God is just on a path to hell. It's the devil's trap. And there are many that are caught up with it. There are also many who are caught trying to do good, thinking that their good works will let them approach to God. But there's no excuse for that. Lord Jesus is the only way. You could also be saved, but maybe you're not ready for the Lord's return in that you're not really looking for it. You're not excited about it in the sense that you're caught up with the things of this moment. You're caught up in the emotions of the everyday, the ups and downs of life, and what you have to do. Some of those things can be good things, and there's maybe nothing wrong with the things that we're doing as believers, but are they really things that are necessary? Are they things that the Lord would have us do? And I know sometimes it's easy when we face hardships and trials. We can get discouraged and things like that. But Christ said, Paul wrote in to the Colossians, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as long as we're focused on the things of here and today, we're going to be distracted and we're going to let our emotions take control. And as a believer, we won't be solid. But we need the word of God and we need to be focused on that. We need to be looking to him and looking forward to his return. And that needs to be our goal and our focus in our lives. And thirdly, are you excited? When you are excited about something, you want to tell other people about it. And you want to, when you make plans about something, you want to fit them to what you're excited about. And you're not going to let other things distract from what you're excited about because you're excited about it, right? And you want to accomplish or to do whatever it is that you're excited about. And so I want to challenge you. Are you excited about the Lord Jesus and about his return, about him coming? Are you like the Thessalonians? Are you expecting the Lord at any moment? And are you looking for him? He could come at any moment, and we're to be ready and watching. And just as a last verse, I'm going to read what Paul wrote to Titus. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And so that's what I'd like to leave you with this evening. If you aren't saved, that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would let him change your life and take control. And if you are, that you would be excited about his return and want to go tell other people about what he has done for you and how they can be saved, and that the glorious future that they can look forward to. I wonder if we'll close in prayer and we could sing a hymn after that. Let's just close. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you for so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you sent him down to this earth. And Father, each of us has had or does have to make a choice. What will we do with Jesus? And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here that hasn't given their life to you, that they would surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be Lord of their life. And for those of us who have, that we would let you take control of our lives, that we would be looking to share the gospel with those around, that he would be evident in our lives, and that we would be excited for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his return. And so now we commit this rest this evening and this week to follow into your care. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing hymn number 348? What will you do with Jesus? Number 348.